And so it begins our sacred triduum. As we gather tonight for Holy Thursday, or what some call Maundy Thursday, and this is a night that has already always played a significant role in my ministry over the years, in ordained ministry in the Protestant world, but it has taken on a new and even more powerful import this year, now that I am a Catholic priest. Not only is there more of a direct connection with the apostolic delegation that was with our Lord in the upper room, but I have a more clear and definitive teaching upon which I stand as a priest. There's a lot more that has been unpacked by the church upon which we can stand and upon which we can declare our faith into the world. Now, this was the last meal that our Lord was going to have with his disciples, and he had sent Peter and John ahead, as St. Luke reports, to get everything ready for this Passover meal in a special location in an upper room. And this is something that had gone on for centuries in the Jewish nation. Generation upon generation had followed this Passover tradition as they remembered their deliverance out of the hands of the Egyptians. In our first reading tonight, we read of this first Passover in Exodus. And there we read that this shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate with pilgrimage to the Lord as a perpetual institution. And that was, in fact, what had taken place, with some interruptions due to problems in the nation of Israel. But by the time of Jesus again, they were celebrating the Passover. But this Passover, with its multiple rituals and symbols, they knew was not about everything else. It was about one main thing, and that was the Lamb who was slain. It was the blood of the Lamb that was applied to the doorpost of their house in Egypt that allowed them to be able to withstand the rigor as the death angel passed through the area. And they were safe. And because of this great Passover, they were then allowed to move into freedom as the Egyptians bid them farewell out of the land. But they also knew that this Passover was anticipating something greater, something more profound in salvation history. But what the disciples didn't know is that this particular meal with their Savior, with their Lord, this Last Supper was going to be different. They weren't aware that he was the true Passover lamb, and that others were mere types and shadows of something that they were about to experience. I love what St. Milito of Sardis said. He's a second century saint, and he wrote, "He was led forth like a lamb. He was slaughtered like a sheep. He ransomed us from our servitude to the world as he ransomed Israel from the land of Egypt." So the Passover, which was normally to be eaten on Friday this year, was going to be eaten on Thursday. It was a day earlier because the Lord knew that on that next day that he would become the lamb that was slain in the afternoon. And so this would be a special night. A special night not just because they were gathered together as a company in fellowship, but because he was going to do something special. And he was going to basically give them three things. He was going to give them a mystery. He was going to give them the men, and he was going to give them the mandate. First, there's the mystery. And this is an interesting word, the word mystery. It means something unique, something of special significance that is about to be unveiled, but we really don't know that much about it. It's a Greek word, mysterion. Now, in Latin, we use the word sacramentum, and Tertullian took the word sacramentum or sacrament, which basically was an oath that the Romans took in terms of loyalty to their emperor. And he took that word and applied it to the mysteries of faith, knowing that these mysteries are what binds us to our Lord and our God. And so there was this mystery unveiled. Because during the meal, there were words uttered that had never been uttered before at a Passover. Jesus took bread, and he said, "This is my body." And he took the cup, the chalice, and he said, "This is my blood. As the Catechism states, at the Last Supper on the night he was betrayed, our Savior instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and blood, a sacrifice and a sacrament of love, a sign of unity, a bond of charity, a paschal banquet in which Christ is consumed. The mind is filled with grace and the pledge of future glory is given to us. What a marvelous thing that our Lord is offering to his disciples that first night. This is my body. This is my blood. And I wonder how many of them thought back to just after the feeding of the 5,000 when Jesus said to them, you know, he didn't say, you know, I said, you know, that's just kind of a sly paraphrase. You know, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Now, many turned away at that point. But Peter said on behalf of many, but Lord, where are we supposed to go? You have the words of eternal life. But not only that, he had the flesh and blood that he was offering them there in that meal, in that supper. And he said to them, in instituting this wonderful mystery, do this, implying you. Do this in remembrance of me. A really wonderful word, the word remembrance. It's anamnesis in the Greek. And anamnesis is not about going back and thinking about the good old days. It's not what we would call in my generation a Kodak moment. For those that don't remember film, that's not really that applicable. But a Kodak moment, something that you're just kind of thinking back in the good old days. Oh, yeah, I remember the upper room. Anamnesis is not going back into the past, but rather it's bringing the past into the present where it becomes a now reality. And Christ is calling them to make this reality present each time that they do it in anamnesis, in remembrance. And there, after proclaiming, this is my body and this is my blood, one of the things the priest says is, the mystery of faith. Blessed John Paul II writes about that in his letter to his priests just prior to his passing in 2005. He says, every time he proclaims these words, after consecrating the bread and wine, the priest expresses his ever-renewed amazement at the extraordinary miracle worked at his hands. It is a miracle which only the eyes of faith can perceive. It is a wonder, the mystery of faith. It is truly something that God has wrought in our midst, now present in a reality for us. But Jesus didn't just say, do this in remembrance, but the implication is, you do this. This was not just the institution of a mystery, but the communication of his priesthood to men. And that process of ordination continued after his resurrection as he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit and gave them authority to forgive sin. But this Eucharistic feast, this wonderful mystery, is implicitly tied to the priesthood. I remember when I was on a retreat for my ordination, and I was on a silent retreat, I had taken a book with me, and it's interesting how this happened. I had a book that had been in my library for 14 years. I know because one of my priests, when I was an Anglican bishop, gave me that book, and he had it inscribed with a date. It was 14 years later I happened to look and realize I had stuck that book in my library and never read it. It was a book by a woman named Catherine Doherty, the co-foundress of Madonna House Apostolate and a popular author. And she had written this wonderful little book called Dear Father, A Message of Love to Priests. And I took it on my retreat, and what I didn't know until I got there and began unpacking the book in my mind is that God had given my entire retreat, for page after page was just revealing to me from the heart of one who sits in the pew the love for the priesthood and an awe of what God does in terms of turning men into priests. And she writes this about the holy calling. She says, your hands were made to bless, to console, to give, to hold the hands of the sick so that they might get well. Your hands are filled with holy oils. It doesn't matter that you wash them every day or several times a day. Holy oils are impervious to that type of washing. What an amazing gift God has given to the church through his priests. As Blessed John Paul II wrote, we are the priests. We priests are the celebrants, but also the guardians of this most sacred mystery. It is our relationship with the Eucharist that most clearly challenges us to lead a sacred life. This Holy Thursday really exemplifies and brings into focus the importance of the relationship between the priesthood and the sacraments. Just this morning, we were at the Chrism Mass at the cathedral, where the bishop stood before his priests and he asked us questions. Are you resolved to be more united with the Lord Jesus and more closely conformed to him, denying yourselves and confirming those promises about sacred duties toward Christ's church, which prompted by love of him you willingly and joyfully pledged on the day of your priestly ordination? Are you resolved? And there was this resounding echo in the cathedral, I am. Are you resolved to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God and the Holy Eucharist and other liturgical rites and to discharge faithfully the sacred office of teaching, following Christ the head and shepherd, not seeking again or seeking any gain, but moved only by the zeal for souls? Again, the cathedral echoed resoundingly, I am. You see, it's through the priesthood that our Lord continues not just the mystery of faith, but the care of the flock as the good shepherd through his servants, the priests. So there was the mystery, there was the men, and there was also the mandate. The word mandate, or from the Latin mandatum, is where we get the word Monday, Thursday. When I was a kid, I was thinking it was Monday, Thursday, and I couldn't figure out what they were doing to the calendar during Holy Week. But I knew there was a Monday, Thursday that I was going to experience. Monday, Thursday, the mandatum Thursday, the mandate, the new commandment that Christ gave to his church. And this is what he said to them in the upper room. I give you a new commandment, love one another. As I have loved you, you should also love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Well, that means that we can celebrate this great mystery of faith. We can have priests, but if we have no love, the world doesn't even know. They're not convinced that we're anything unique and special, and in particular that we are not united with Jesus Christ. Christ is present in the world through the Eucharist. He is present in the world through his priests, but he is also present in the world through our charity, through our love. Now, this is not a new commandment per se. Love permeates the scriptures, including the Old Testament, in many ways and in many forms. Does God show us his love and command and call forth his love from the chosen people? But it's different now because it's always current. It is always with us because as Christ is with us, so is his love with us. We are loving the world through his love, not just our own. We're not, as I said the other day in one of my homilies, we're not half-filled buckets trying to overflow. We are those who, filled with his love, go into the world and let that fragrance and that love be known by others. But it's also a love, a new love by comparison. Because he said, love one another as I have loved you. So Christ becomes the measure of how we love the world. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. This love is being lived out in front of these disciples throughout their entire ministry with Jesus. And in just a few minutes, we are going to again represent one way in which he expressed his love through the washing of their feet. As it said in the very beginning of our gospel reading, he loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. One of the ways he wanted to show them love was to show them as a servant, you can love others in doing the simplest, most menial tasks. This is a gift of charity that we have to offer to the world. It is a gift that needs to be given, needs to be expressed. Saint Jose Maria Escriva says it this way, this love is not something reserved for important matters, but must be exercised above all in the ordinary circumstances of daily life. This is a love that we take into the world, where we spread it to everyone, wherever we happen to be. So we have the mystery, the men, the mandate, not three gifts, one unique gift of Jesus Christ. In the Holy Eucharist, he says to us, "This is my body given for you." In the priesthood, he says to us, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep." And through this new commandment of charity, he said, "Love one another as I have loved you." So may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.